welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we continue listening in on Derek Gilbert's excellent presentation on the gates of hell that was presented at our recent Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read that to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. At age 92, Southwest Radio Ministries has weathered good times and hard times. Many of you have ridden out the storms and enjoyed the mountaintop moments with us, giving thanks in whatever state we're in. There couldn't be a better time than now to become a faithful friend to our ministry as a monthly giver. Some of you have already made that commitment. If you could increase that sacrificial gift, we promise to use it to spread the gospel daily around the globe and to bring biblical clarity to the growing chaos. So the question is, will you stand with us every month? You can begin giving monthly by simply visiting our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Please begin your monthly giving today. 1-800-652-1144. Recently, we held our Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference with an outstanding lineup of speakers covering the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Today, we have the privilege of continuing to listen in on Derek Gilbert's presentation entitled The Gates of Hell. From the Mysteries of the Bible Verse conference, here's Derek Gilbert.
It is interesting that even though the Hebrews had words for demons in the Old Testament, we don't read a single account of the prophets in the Old Testament casting out demons. Now, we know that Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. David played the lyre that soothed Saul. But we don't see any cases of the prophets doing deliverance. And it's not like their neighbors didn't know about this. There are exorcism texts from the pagans who lived around ancient Israel. The Canaanites, the Akkadians, the Hurrians, the Hittites. They all knew what these demons, and they had words for them. Apparently, it was not a major part of the ministry of the prophets in the Old Testament. But suddenly Jesus arrives, and he and his disciples are casting out demons left, right, and center. And again, on their turf, the Upper Galilee, Bashan, Mount Hermon, in that region, Jesus arrives and immediately begins saying, "Hey, get off my land. This belongs to me." And the demons knew what was going on. Remember the words of the Gadarene demoniac legion. Matthew 8:29. "Behold," they cried out, "what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time?" The time. They knew that a day is coming. They know a day is coming. First Enoch says they're going to wander the earth tormenting humanity without incurring judgment on themselves until the final judgment, at which time, big snap. They just didn't know what Jesus' mission was, which is why they couldn't help themselves when he went to Jerusalem and they put him on the cross. What about the leader of this Genesis 6 rebellion? If war against the Nephilim, the Rephaim demons, was so important, especially in the ministry of Jesus, why isn't Shemaiah anywhere in the Bible? This is what drove me to research the book, The Second Coming of Saturn, in the first place. The answer is that, yes, he is there. You just have to look. We've already talked about Molech. Okay, God was very specific. Don't do this. This is abomination. This is detestable. You know the story about Dagon and his idol falling down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. What about the others? El, creator God of the Canaanites. Hosea 8, beginning at verse 5. "I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces." A scholar by the name of Naftali Tur-Sinai in 1950, and this is not some random guy looking for a sensational way to read the Bible. This was the first president of the Institute of the Hebrew language. After Israel became a nation in 1948, they had to resurrect Hebrew as a language from the dead. Naftali Ter-Sinai was the guy who led this institute. He pointed out that that phrase in Hosea 8, "for it is from Israel," in the Hebrew actually reads, "for from Israel." That makes no sense. It makes no sense in the Hebrew. English translators, trying to help things along and make it more understandable for us, they added the "it is," "for it is." Ter-Sinai pointed out that when you regroup the consonants, because as Pastor Carl Gallup said, in Hebrew, you get no vowels, no punctuation, no spaces. You have to look at how things are put together, make your best analysis. When you regroup the consonants, the sentence actually reads, "How long will they be incapable of innocence? For who is Bull El?" A craftsman made it. It is not God. Bull El was the main nickname or epithet of the Canaanite creator god, Bull El, hence the horns in this wonderfully done artistic representation of this entity. But again, remember the references to Bashan in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the bulls of Bashan, the fat cows of Bashan, the fat beasts of Bashan, all of these point back to the Canaanite netherworld, Bashan, and the Canaanite Olympus, Mount Hermon, which was the home of Bull El. Asher, the chief god of Assyria, sometimes called the Assyrian Enlil. There are several mentions in the Old Testament of the Assyrian, not the Assyrian Enlil, of the Assyrian. The Assyrian. Not the Assyrians plural, but the Assyrian, like it's a guy, a character. Especially Isaiah 14:25, Isaiah 31:8, and in Micah chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, that mention is usually, or often I should say, interpreted as a prophecy of the coming Antichrist. The Assyrian. Who is the Assyrian? That means the Antichrist is going to be from somewhere in Mesopotamia. Well, maybe. But the problem is you're missing the definite article, the. The Hebrew doesn't say the Assyrian. It does not say Ha-Ashur. It just says Ashur. And Ashur was the name of the patron god of Assyria, who was also known as Elil, Enlil, Bull El, Dagon, Molech. And in fact, I make that case in the second coming of Saturn that the Assyrian or Ashur is a reference to this entity, not the coming Antichrist. In Ezekiel chapter 1, I love this because this drives the ancient aliens guys crazy. When the prophet saw what the ancient aliens guys are sure is a UFO in the Bible. Oh, the wheels within wheels and the fiery flame and the wheels and the eyes all around and the living creatures. Oh, this was an ancient attempt to try to describe a spacecraft. No, I'm sorry. I mean, I know I don't have the tall hair to give me the authority to speak on UFOs, but I can say this without fear of contradiction, that 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel's readers would have known what he was describing, which is a throne room. He was describing the throne of a god. And in this case, Ezekiel was very specific. It is the throne of Yahweh. And the Keruvim, our Jewish friends tell us the actual pronunciation is Keruvim. So you can impress your friends. Tell us, say, no, it's not Cherubim, you Philistine. It's Keruvim. But here's the thing that is so cool. Ezekiel makes a point that when he sees this vision, he was with the exiles by the Kivar Canal. And in fact, throughout the rest of the book, he mentions seven more times the vision I had at the first by the Kivar Canal. He mentions it eight times in the course of the book. Why do you think he did that? Because it's important? He wanted to emphasize the point? Again, where things happen in the Bible is just as important as what happened. The Kivar Canal just happens to run right through the city of Nippur, which ran right next to the Temple of Enlil. In other words, God revealed his throne to Ezekiel directly above the temple of the chief god of Mesopotamia. It's like, boom, cosmic mic drop. And Ezekiel's readers would have known this. God, his throne up there, right over the temple of Enlil, the father god of all the Mesopotamian gods, who's supposedly decreeing the fakes. And then God tells Ezekiel, okay, now here's what's going to happen through the rest of history. And Enlil couldn't do anything about it. But there's more. In Zechariah chapter 4, I mentioned Satan is there in the, he's confronting, that's actually Zechariah 3 where he confronts high priest. But in Zechariah chapter 4, which is written about 75 years after Ezekiel's vision, we read this. Then he said to me, this is the word of Yahweh, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, who was tasked with rebuilding the temple. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who's heard of that verse? Who's heard that verse? Okay, we all know that verse. But that verse continues. The next verse. Who are you, O great mountain? That's his, like, title. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Look, the Israelites, the Jews, have been kidnapped. They just spent 75 years in the heart of Babylonia. Do you think they didn't know who the great mountain was? And Yahweh's saying, okay, you kidnapped my people. Your people took my people, but who are you? Zerubbabel is rebuilding my house, and you, great mountain, we're going to level you out. But wait, there's more. There's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament translated idols, images, or worthless idols 9 times, scattered through the Old Testament from Leviticus to Habakkuk. 3 times in the book of Isaiah. Love Isaiah. He was a master at wordplay. A scholar named Christopher Hayes argues that this word, which is Elilim, derives from the name of this entity, the Akkadian form of the name Elil, the Elilim, the worthless idols. Psalm 96, verses 4 and 5. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are Elilim. It's like minions of Elil, like demons, minions, not the cute little yellow ones, but really nasty ones. But the Lord made the heavens. And then in Psalm 97, verse 7, we read this same word again. All worshipers of images are put to shame who make their boast in Elilim, worthless idols. But then the psalmist continues, worship him, all you Elohim. Worship him, all you gods. The psalmist is telling these other lesser Elohim to worship the true creator, not these lesser Elohim, these Elilim, the minions of Elil, Enlil. Fascinating stuff when you start digging below the surface. We don't need to sensationalize the Bible. The Bible is spectacular. And the Hebrews of 2,700 years ago, they knew all this. We've lost this because we have de-supernaturalized the Bible. You can see as Molech and his demand for child sacrifice, he's still influencing the world today. How? We can speculate because the Bible doesn't tell us specifically. I would argue through demons who are acting like messengers. How does a mafia boss who's in prison control action on the streets, or a gang leader? Minions, people taking messages back and forth. In fact, Ezekiel 32, there's a hint at that. I won't go into it now, but the chiefs, the mighty chiefs in the midst of Sheol, Jewish religious scholars actually believe that those were the giants in the midst of Sheol, where Ashur, the Assyrian form of this entity, was in the far reaches of the pit. I think that's the Hebrew form of Tartarus. But this entity is in the bottomless pit, and he is still influencing the world today. He is still influencing this war against Israel, trying to make God a liar by taking the land that God said would be his forever. Psalm 132, verse 13. where he says, I will dwell in Zion forever, for I have desired it. The name of this entity, Al-Ilah, Arabic, meaning the God, similar to God of gods or God of all the gods, or to simplify it. As I said, this war and this presentation suddenly became much more relevant in the last 36 hours. But here's the good news, and I'll wrap up with these few prophecies from Isaiah and Ezekiel. Isaiah 26, verse 13, O Lord our God, O Yahweh our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance. Why is that relevant? Because among the Amorites, the pagans around ancient Israel, you kept your dead ancestors alive, they thought, by summoning them to a monthly ritual where you would call them by name and then feed them bread. The statues, the teraphim that Rachel stole from her father, that's what those were used for. You would call your ancestors by name to keep their names in remembrance. David's son Absalom erected a pillar for himself in the Valley of the Kings, for he had no son to keep his name in remembrance. And then you'd pour out a drink offering. No, other lords have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance. They are dead. They will not live. They are shades. No. They are Rephaim. They will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. In Ezekiel 39, verse 11, the Gog-Magog War, we've argued elsewhere, that is the same war that ends at Armageddon. No time to go into that here, but the end of the war, according to Yahweh, on that day I will give to Gog, the Antichrist, a place for burial in Israel, the Valley of the Travelers, east of the sea. Traveler was a name used by the Canaanites for the spirits of the Rephaim. There's an entry for the travelers in the Dictionary of Deities and Demons in the Bible. Heard Mike Heiser do this on his podcast one day. I almost ran off the road. Like, what? Because I was digging into the Rephaim and I heard this and I was like, ah. And then Ezekiel writes, it will block the travelers. The word block, what is that? It's only used twice in the Bible. The other time, it's in that verse in the Old Testament quoted by Paul, you shall not muzzle an ox when he treads out the grain. What does it mean? I think it means, as Isaiah said, they are shades, they are Rephaim, they will not arise when the resurrection happens. They're not resurrecting with us. And then the prophecies of the destruction of the watchers. Get this, Isaiah 14, verse 20. May the offspring of evildoers never more be named. Prepare slaughter for his sons because of the guilt of their fathers, lest they rise and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. I'm from Chicago. Now, I will say I'm much happier being from Chicago than in Chicago. And our apologies, by the way, for all that Illinois has wrought on the country the last 15 years. But the key to understanding this, I think, is that the Hebrew word translated cities, Irim, is the same word that Micah showed you in Daniel chapter 4, that Mac mentioned, Daniel chapter 4, translated watchers. Prepare slaughter for his sons. Who? Because of the guilt of their fathers, lest they rise and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with watchers. And going back to the prophecy of Balaam, one from Jacob, Numbers 24, verse 19. One from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of cities. There's nothing wrong with cities per se. Jesus sent Nehemiah back to rebuild the wall for some reason. If you had a problem with cities, that would be inconsistent. You can't translate cities to watchers every place it shows up in the Bible, but I think in these two verses right here, it makes sense. One from Jacob, the Messiah, shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of the watchers. That day is coming. This war for control of God's holy mountain, his mount of assembly, his Har Moed, ends at Armageddon. But the destruction of the giants, the Rephaim, the travelers, has been decreed. The destruction of the watchers has been decreed. And sadly, as I wrote in my book, Bad Moon Rising, the followers of Allah, pray for them, because unless they find the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no future. And we should not wish that fate on anyone. Our Lord is coming back. The Son of God prophesied by the Essenes in the book of 1 Enoch to destroy the giants and destroy their progenitors, the watchers. That day is coming, and that day is guaranteed. Meanwhile, we need to be about our King's business, proclaiming the hope we have in Jesus Christ and making disciples of all nations. And remember, every time we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3, when he went down to declare victory over those spirits in prison, Peter equated that to baptism. In other words, every time we baptize, it's like we're saying, hey, we got another one, and you're still dead. Amen.
This presentation by Derek Gilbert was originally given at this year's Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. All of the presentations from the two-day event are now available on a special 6-DVD set. Topics as varied as UFOs, aliens, hidden messages, giants in Scripture, demonic oppression, dinosaurs, and secret societies. The topics are sensational, but grounded in Scripture. Prepare to have your mind blown and your faith encouraged. Order the 2025 Mysteries of the Bible Verse DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. The Mysteries of the Bible Verse 6-disc set features presentations by the full lineup of speakers, including Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Carl Gallups, Micah Van Hus, Michael Hoggard, and Mac Dominic. Order your copy today, 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're only 10 days away from our Prophecy in the News Live conference in New Prague, Minnesota. Two of the speakers at this upcoming event are here, ready to share a sneak peek of what's in store. Here's Micah and Clayton Van Hus.
I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm Clayton Van Hus, the director of Affirm Apologetics and host of Biblically Grounded. And I want to talk to you today about an upcoming event that I am very excited about. We're talking about the Prophecy in the News live conference in New Prague, Minnesota, coming up August 15th and 16th. Now, this is going to be a program that you don't want to miss. I will be speaking on two topics, the Guardians of the Sacred Space, the Cherubim. I will also be speaking on Marauders in Canaan. Do we find evidence of the Hebrews in Canaan? But also speaking will be Bill Federer. We will have Mac Dominic, Josh Davis, and my brother Micah Van Hus, who has joined us in the studio today. Micah, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Clayton. Thank you for talking to me.
Oh, I am so excited about this thing coming up and getting to go to another conference with you. So, Micah, what are you going to be speaking about in New Prague?
New Prague, I will be speaking on my presentation, The Earth As It Was, which is my second book, and it is about my biblically based speculation about how I believe the world was before the flood of Noah. And of course, we get into creation, some of the creation mythologies as well, how they point to Scripture. We get into dinosaurs. We get into humans and their long lifespan. We get into the giants and their fathers, the watchers, and the reason for the flood, and some of the technology that may have happened before the flood, because there are evidences of advanced technology from ancient man that are just fascinating. I guess off the top of my head, the Hindu Vedas, the Mahabharata, talk about the flaming arrows shot into the sky and how they met each other in a giant explosion in the air, and the flesh on the men's bodies of the armies melted. But even if folks do not tie that to a nuclear weapon, The words recorded are over 3,500 years old. So the fact that things like that were being talked about, whether you believe it's a nuke or not, it's just fascinating stuff. That's one branch of the Earth as it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so you mentioned speculation, and you know, these are the sorts of topics that we love to sit around like late into the night talking about. You know, believers love to talk about this sort of thing. Like, what was the Earth like? What was going on? What about, where do we find? But you've gone beyond just talking about it, and you've really been studying these topics. And so I believe your second topic also is one of those things that we love to sit around and talk about and speculate about. But you've been looking into it. What is that?
Absolutely. And so this is my newest book, which will be available at the New Prague Conference. And it is Angels Eternal. And the book is about the angelic realm. You know, it was a harder book to write because, you know, we're talking about the unseen. But I had not only a ton of fun writing Angels Eternal, but also I learned a ton as well. So we get into the divine council that is absolutely evidenced in Scripture. In Scripture, we see the divine council in action. God allows an angel to recommend a course of action for King Ahab. And the angel, God says, go ahead and do that. That's the divine council in action. There are other evidences, but we'll save that for the presentation in the book. We also get into the princes of the nations. And this is the Deuteronomy 32 worldview. That after the separation at Babel, the scattering of the peoples, that God actually handed the nations over to fallen angels to rule over them. This is the point in Scripture where God chooses Israel as his people. The world was divided, and we see that not only in Scripture, and I've got plenty of evidence that we'll talk about, but also in the mythologies too, that talk about the world being divided among the gods. And these mythologies are just echoes of what Scripture is saying.
Yeah, this is exciting. Come out, listen to Mac Dominic, listen to Bill Federer, Josh Davis, Micah Van Hus, and myself, Clayton Van Hus. That's in New Prague, Minnesota, August 15th and 16th.
Friends, will you help us bring biblical clarity to the world's chaotic noise? You can have a long-term impact on eternity and turn down the worldly noise. How? By becoming a monthly partner, a faithful friend of SWRC and Prophecy in the News. You can begin giving monthly by simply visiting our website, SWRC.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Please begin your monthly giving today, 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we unpack the mystery that is the Book of Enoch with author Derek Gilbert. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.